The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simen Kuf Tzadites. We're holding here in the middle of Simen Kuf Tzadites, talking about the halachas, the laws pertaining to a Beis HaKvaros, to a cemetery, especially at the time of burial. And the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch continues in Sif Yud to discuss various minhagim, various customs that take place at the conclusion of a burial. The Kitzer says the following, Noyagim, it is a custom, Shekishaholchim mi Beis HaKvaros, that when they leave the cemetery, they do a number of things. First of all, Toshin Asavim, they rip out grasses, Umashlichim achar gavom, and they throw them toward their back. The Oymer, when they say the pasuk, Zocher ki ofer anachnu, remember that we're like dust. Again, it's a custom to rip grass and to throw it backwards and recite the pasuk of Zocher ki ofer anachnu. Now, what's the idea behind this? So, like many of these customs, they evolved from different ideas, many of them having to do with the neshamas and different more supernatural and Nister type of ideas. And the Kitzer gives us a little bit of an insight into it, and he says the following, and this idea of plucking the grass has a symbolism to Tchias HaMeisim, as they're at the time of a burial, and the belief, as people who believe in Tchias HaMeisim, we believe that one day this person will arise from where they were buried, and this idea of plucking the grass is a remez, is a symbolism to Tchias HaMeisim, sheyichu me'afarom, that the people will once again become alive from the dirt, al derech, as the pasuk says, v'yitzitzu me'ir ke'es v'aretz, that when they're going to become awakened, they're going to come like the grasses, just like grass sprouts up from the ground, so to also. So therefore, they pluck the grass as a remez, as a symbolism, as a hint to this idea that at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, the people will arise from the ground just like grass. And the next question the Kitzer addresses is, could this custom be done on Chol HaMoed? And the Kitzer's opinion is, V'yichalom lasas kein gam b'Chol HaMoed, it could be done on Chol HaMoed. Now, this is a discussion of the Paiskim. If you look in the Sefer Nitig Avril, he brings a full discussion about it. And some Paiskim felt it should not be done because maybe it's some sort of malacha, some sort of forbidden work on Chol HaMoed. And the opinion of the Kitzer here is that it could be done, the reason being that generally the malacha, the forms of work that are prohibited on Chol HaMoed, are forms of work that are considered some sort of craftsmanship. Now, obviously, you don't have to be a great expert in order to pluck some grass. So therefore, it wouldn't seem to be a real malacha, and that's why the Kitzer says it's permitted. Others still feel that it should not be done on Chol HaMoed. The Nitig Avril's opinion is that unless there's a prevailing custom in that place to do so, one should not do so. Not like what we see here in the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. Now the Kitzer continues, V'rechtzim yideyem, and one should wash the hands. And this is something we find in general when one leaves a Beis HaKvaros, when one leaves a cemetery, that we know that in a cemetery there are ruach hasatuma, there are impure spirits, and because of that, a person is supposed to wash their hands when they leave in order to remove that impurity. Now, the Kitzer gives a very interesting remez, an interesting hint to these three customs. So there's three customs. There's a custom to pluck the grass and to throw it. There's a custom to recite the pasuk of Zocher ki ofer anachnu, remember that we're like the dust. And there's a custom of washing the hands. So he says that there's like a sort of a hint to remember these three things, he says, because what we know when a person becomes ritually impure and they become a tummy mace, they became in contact with a dead person, they cannot just go to the mikvah and clean themselves and become ritually pure. They need to go through a tahara process which involves using the ashes of the parah aduma, of the red heifer that's burnt, and those ashes are kept and use in this procedure. Now, when the ashes are used, they're mixed with water, and they're sprayed on the person using a hyssop branch. So we have three elements in a person who became defiled by coming in contact with a dead person. We have three elements of the entire process. We have using water, using ash, and applying it with a branch, with a hyssop branch. Says the Kitzer that similarly, we have this custom that when one leaves the Beis HaKfaras, when one leaves the cemetery, they wash their hands, so that's a connection to the water. They recite a pasuk that references dirt, Zachar Ki Ofer Anachnu, so that's a reference to the ash of the paraduma, of the red heifer, and it's applied by the hyssop, so it's applied by a plant. So the same way, there's a custom of plucking the grass, which is also something that comes from the ground, that's also a plant life. And we can now read this in Sarviyash Remez, and there's a hint to this, She'en tuma zois niteres, that this impurity of being, this tuma, this impurity that comes when a person's in contact with that body, which these people obviously have because they were just at a funeral, it only becomes removed, el b'shleish dvarim, with three things, mayim, water, v'efer para, and the ash of the red heifer, v'ezav, and being applied with a hyssop branch. And therefore, that's a symbolism to this custom of doing these three things. Now, it is mentioned, in Nitzik Avril also brings, that if there is no grass in the cemetery, then the custom is to use the dirt, and that again is because that's the connection to the ground, which is where people at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, at the time of the resurrection, will come back from. Now the Kitzer continues and discusses some more details about the washing. He says, "Ein lerchos as yadayim benor elamikli." One should not just simply put their hand in the river, but they should put it into pour the water on the hands from a vessel. Now, if you remember, we find this halacha when it comes to washing the hands in the morning, which is also an idea of an impurity, of a ruach hatumah, because when a person sleeps, the neshama leaves them, that's what Chazal tell us. And there we also find the Gemara says that this ruach hatumah, this impure spirit, is strong, it's like a bas chayin, very strong, that it doesn't leave unless the water is poured from a vessel. So therefore, in the morning, one's supposed to use, for Nagelwasser, for the washing of the hands in the morning, one's supposed to use a cup, not just the faucet, because that's more of a washing. So here also the Kitzer says that, again, when one leaves the cemetery, one should not just wash their hands in the faucet, but they should use a cup to wash their hands. And there's another custom, which you can see this very often when people wash their hands after a funeral, which is that people don't hand the cup one to another. They simply put it down, and the other person takes it. But simply, one puts it down, and the other one takes it. And one should not dry the hands either. Now, the Paiskim discuss the different customs about this, that these are customs, and these are customs that we are careful about. On the other hand, if there's any extenuating type of circumstance, that obviously one does not have to be careful about it, because, again, this is something that's more of a custom than an actual halacha. Now, the Kitzer continues with another custom that's done upon leaving the cemetery. It says the following, Yesh Ayrim, some say, She'yayishrim sheva pa'amim mipnei sharuchos malavis oisai. That when leaving the Beis HaKfaras, one shouldn't just leave, but that one should, go a little bit and then sit, and then go and sit seven times, because the spirits of the Beis HaKfaras go out with the person, and therefore you don't want that to happen. So therefore, you sort of go a little bit and you sit down, so it's sort of confusing it, showing that you're not really leaving yet, and therefore that's a way of making it that it shouldn't leave with the person. This is what the custom that the Kitzer brings down. Becholzman sheyayishvim, and as long as every time they sit down, barchem imenu, they run away. Now, v'ktas mekayimus, in some places have the custom, nagin leishiv rak sholish bamim, they only do it three times, not seven times, achas sherachzos heidayim, after they wash their hands. For ayimim, and they say b'chol pam, they say each time, v'hinayim, Vagamer, they say the pasuk of Hinayim. Vagam kishenikbar hames biyantif, even if on yantif, on a holiday, the person is buried, yachon leishiv kach shalosh pa'amim, they should do that. V'nayagim l'hakpid, and they also careful. Im yikonis adam l'bayis kodim shirchatz yadav yeshiv. They're also careful that one should not go into a house until he washed his hands and did this procedure of sitting down. And we consider take our customs very seriously. So basically, to summarize, the kitzur over here is bringing two different customs. Now, one custom is not to go into the house before the hands are washed. This is what the kitzur brings. And this is something that people are generally careful about, you know, if it's possible. And that's why, for example, after a funeral, they'll put out water before people go into a house. Now, it's brought down that this idea of not going to a house after a funeral is only after a funeral. But let's say if a person goes and visits a grave, you know, say on a yard site or something like that, then it's brought down that it does not have the same issue. So that's one custom. The other custom that the kitzur describes over here is this idea of sitting seven times or three times in order that the ruchais, that the spirits and the basic kfarah shouldn't go along with the person. Now, the Nitta Gavriel brings the different customs if this is done at all. It seems that in the Ashkenaz communities, it's not really done. Only some have a custom that the actual mourners, the relatives, they do this, but other than that, the other people do not do this. So again, as the kitzur said, minhag avisenu tayr, we take our minhag very carefully. On the other hand, if it's not the minhag, then if we don't have the custom, then we don't need to be concerned about it. This is a general rule when it comes to minhagim, that that something that's only a custom, if one has the custom, they should keep it. But if one does not have the custom, and different places do and don't, and you're talking about, you know, people that are learned and they know what they're doing, and they still don't have the custom, then it's really not necessary for a person to accept it upon themselves, you know. But if one does have the custom, then one should be careful about keeping it. Now we're going to continue with Sif Yud Alef. Now in Sif Yud Alef, we discuss the arrangements for burying the deceased. And Sif Yud Alef talks about traveling, taking the dead body from city to city. It says the following: Eimer lichen asameis me'ir sheyeshba kvaros li'ir acheres. It says if there's place to bury the person in that city. You know, in Europe, where Jewish people were allotted a very small amount of land from the governments, you know, because of, you know, anti-Semitism, and they were allotted a very small amounts of land for the Beis HaKfaros, for the cemetery. There were big issues about not having room in the cemetery. There were questions of burying one on top of another, and all sorts of questions. And so that was a common problem. So the kids were saying, obviously, if there was no room in the cemetery, they have to go to the neighboring town, then you don't have a choice. But if they do have it, then it's not proper to bring them to a different place. So just to slap around the body from place to place is disrespectful. If they're bringing the person from outside of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, so that's a very big schus, as we know that this is a special schus to be a merit to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. It says that certain pains that the body goes through at the time of Tchias HaMesim they won't have. And that's why Yaakov Avinu wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So that's definitely a reason to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and that's something that's very common. People want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and we take them on a plane and bury them in Eretz Yisrael. Also, another consideration is that the person is going to be buried in a family plot where the fathers were buried, then that's important. Also, if it was the will of the person, then it's also permitted. So the point is, again, that we don't want to bring the body to different places if it's not for something that would be a benefit and a respect of the person that was deceased. Now, the Kitzur in Sif Yud Beis talks about a very important concept, which is about reopening a grave once the person has been buried. Now, the basis for it is Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi talks about that one should not open a grave after a person is buried, only for certain situations, which we're going to discuss. Now, the Svarim and the Paiskim talk about how the whole idea of opening a grave is something that brings tremendous discomfort and anguish to the neshama of the person. That's what the Paiskim say, that a decision about to open a grave or not is something that's considered very serious, and one should ask a great Meir HaRa, a great Talmud Chacham. And it's interesting, there were different Shilas over the years, but moving the graves of different people, especially, let's say, that they were buried in Europe, moving them to Eretz Yisrael, especially after the Second World War. And when one looks at the tshuvas and one sees the discussions, you see how seriously they took the questions and how carefully they looked at all the possibilities, because, again, when you're dealing with opening a grave, it's not considered to be a simple thing, and that's why, again, it has to be done with the decision of a person that's of a great person. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Kitzur says the following: Asul Leftach Kever Lachar Shenis Tamagel. He says, when does this problem apply? Once it's completely covered up. Dehainu Shekfar Nasu Ofer Al Kisei Aron. That once they covered the coffin, then it's a problem. Avol Kol Zman Shelo Nasu Ofer, but as long as they didn't put in the dirt, even though they put down the coffin, Mutu Lefaschay Mishmei Sedaver, say they forgot take something out, or to put something in. For example, so we find that different people ask to be buried with certain things, let's say their talis, say something that they wrote, or different things that people wanted to, or say the other way, that maybe there was something important that was on that was with the person that they weren't supposed to be buried with. Or let's say we have to find certain information, right? It's a question who this person was, can the wife remarry? These sort of things. So as long as they didn't actually fill in the grave, then it's not a problem. But if one does need to remove the mace from the kever, they should ask a great Tamil Chacham. Now, I'd like to take a few moments to discuss some of the cases that the Paiskim discuss about moving a grave, moving a kever. Now, one of the cases that the Paiskim discuss is what I mentioned a second ago, which is that they married this person, and the question is, and now they think it might be the husband of a certain woman, and if we can't verify this is her husband, then she's not going to be able to get remarried. So could they open the grave for that? And there's a discussion about it. The Peschei Tshuva brings different opinions, but the opinion of the Shalom Eishev was that it's definitely permitted to do so. And the basic premise of it is that, in general, usually the times that it's permitted to open a grave is when if there's a real benefit for the person that passed away, as we're going to see soon. But if there's no benefit, let's say they left money in there, right? So people want the money, but that seems to be the most person who hold, you cannot open it. But something that's for the person's own talus, that they wanted to be buried somewhere else, let's say, then that would be different. So the argument here is that the mitzvah of letting the person's wife remarry is definitely a great thing that the person will want to help out with, and therefore will be permitted to open it. Now, another question is, let's say something that the mace requested. He said he wanted to be dressed in a certain thing, or he wanted different manuscripts of his to be put with him in the kever. Is that a reason to open it? So this is a machlekes as well, that the Aruch HaShulchan writes that it's permitted because this is what the person wanted, so therefore you could open it. Others write that the custom today is not to do that. The Minchas Elazar was asked a question about Talmud Chacham that wanted his manuscripts to be put in the grave with him, and they forgot to do it. So he says they shouldn't open up the grave, but what they could do is they could put it under the tombstone, so that wouldn't be actually opening the grave, but it would be sort of near him, so that would be at least a fulfillment of this person's will. Now, the Sefer Sharim Mitzion Balacha, which is an excellent Sefer, which brings very important discussions in the Paiskim, according to the order of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, so he has a whole section here about when it would be permitted to open a grave, and he basically says there are four circumstances. There's discussion at least about the possibility of opening a grave, and one is lahilicha lekivri avaisav, to bring it to the kfaras of the parents, of the fathers, or let's say the family always was buried in a certain basic kfaras, and for whatever reason, let's say they weren't able to bury him in the normal place, so then could they be moved later? So he says, yes, you have this sometimes, right? Prophet was traveling, and unfortunately they pass away, and they just bury them there, and then the family wants to bring them back to where everyone in the family is buried. So, again, this could be something where it's a benefit for the person, and it's possible that may be permitted. Now, there is a question, what does it mean, mishpachtei? Does it mean dafka a father? What about a wife? What about other family members? But this is one discussion. Another discussion is about being buried in Eretz Yisrael. As you know, there's a special significance to that. So the question is, how does that lie? Now, it seems that if the person expressed a wanting to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and for whatever reason they weren't, then they definitely could later be moved to Eretz Yisrael. But if they didn't express it, this is already a question as to how big of a merit it is to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, if that would warrant to open a grave or not. And the third one is, if the grave is not, something happens with the grave, let's say it gets waterlogged, or might be washed away, they might, you know, the government might be building a road through there or something like that, that it would, the grave would be lost or it would be defiled. And this again comes up a lot, let's say in Europe, where governments want to build roads through old basic forests, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, and the question is, could you move them because of out of the respect? Could you move them because these things are happening to it? So if you don't move them, you know something disrespectful will happen to the grave. So that again is another discussion that would be allowed to be done if that would be happening. And the fourth thing is, if they bury him in a certain place with intent to move him to somewhere else. And this seems to be a major point, that it seems that the problem of the interment would be when it wasn't done with any stipulation. But if they buried him in a place where they stipulated that he's only buried there temporarily, then it seemed it would be much less of an issue. This is something that they had a lot of these places in Europe where the cemeteries were only for, say, leased for 99 years. What happens after 99 years? They have to remove all the bones. So this, what would be the argument to say that you could remove them? So it would seem to be based on these two things, meaning since when they were put in there, you knew that they wouldn't be forever, and also it would be disrespectful, so that might be a reason why you would be allowed to remove them. Now, obviously, for halacha lamaisa, what to do exactly, obviously one has to ask a paisik, competent halachic authority, but this is a little bit of the discussion that we do find in paisikim about it. Now, another interesting case is that what happens when they put the person in the wrong grave by mistake. You will find a number of cases like this. By mistake, this person was supposed to be buried next to his wife. By mistake, they buried it next to someone else. So, in that situation also, many paisikim say you're allowed to do it because the person that wasn't their will, they wanted to be buried in a different place. It was only done there as a mistake. So then they would be allowed to move them. Now we're going to continue in the Kitzer with Sif Yud Gimel about the different customs regarding the cemetery and burial. Im chafru kever, if they dug a grave, lo yinichilu psuch b'layla, they shouldn't leave it open overnight, kiyesh sakana b'davar, because there's a danger. And again, this is another place we find different customs and different things that they were careful about that are more, supernatural, because there was some sort of sakana, some sort of danger involved in leaving an open grave. So if they don't have enough time to bury a person that night, but they had dug the grave already, so says the Kitzer, that they should fill it in until the next day. Yumalu as the kever b'offer, that they should fill it up, and that way you wouldn't have this danger. Sif Yudalat. Sif Yudalat talks about if one's allowed to walk on graves, and because the problem is that one's being disrespectful. And it says the following: also, lidroich al gabe kvarim, one should not walk on top of kvarim. Mishum diyesh arim also b'hano. So some say because you're having benefit because you're standing on it, sort of holding you up. Mkomokum im tzarch le'ezek kever. Let's say you're trying to get to a grave, especially today. Sometimes they have these memorial parks where the graves are buried all over the place. So it's very hard to get from one place to the other without actually walking on a grave. So if you need to, right, say they're bringing they're bringing the mace, they're bringing the deceased person, and the way it's set up is that they have to go over another cavern, another grave. So what about that? Elim kin yidra chagabi kfarim. So then it's muta, then it's permitted. Now there is a discussion in the Paiskim about whether or not this is really an Isra Hana. We know that one's not permitted to have the benefit from a deceased person, and the Kitzer seems to imply that walking on it is sort of having some benefit. The problem with that argument is that you're not really having benefit from the deceased, because if they wouldn't be there, there would still be dirt there. So you're not really having such a major benefit. So many Paiskim learn it's more an issue of covet, it's more of an issue of respect. So that's why in a situation where you need to get to a different grave, then you'll be permitted to do so, because you're not really having benefit from it. Now let's continue. Sif Tezvav. Lo yelech bebeis akvaras, oy besoich arba amash shalmeis. One should not go to the cemetery or walk within 4 cubits, which would be like 6 feet, of a person that's deceased. V'chein b'chol cheder shalmeis shaman, also an entire room. If it's in a room, kishatvilim b'roishoy oyshitis v'bigdoy. That one should not go wearing tzitzis or tefillin. Now, tzitzis, I believe, as long as it's not uncovered, it's okay. And the tefillin also, he shouldn't go with the tefillin on. And the reason is because the pasuk says leg larosh. That what? That if a person literally makes fun of a poor person, then that's wrong, right? A person has wealth, so they shouldn't flaunt their wealth. So same way, Chazal felt that you have a person that's deceased, so they can't perform any mitzvahs, and in a person's life, they're able to perform these mitzvahs so easily, so a person shouldn't flaunt those mitzvahs in front of the deceased. So therefore, out of respect to their situation, you're not supposed to go with tzitzis or tefillin. And as I just mentioned, but if they're covered, then it's mutter, because again, it's more of an idea of daracharet, or more of respect, and therefore, if they're not noticeable, then it's not considered disrespectful. And therefore one should not daven there. They should not say the Tehillim el mashu chavad ames. In other words, Tehillim, that's one says it at a gravesite out of respect for the person that died, or say at a yard site. If that's the purpose of the Tehillim, then it's fine. But just to be, that should become a place where people just daven and say Tehillim for different things, then that's not proper. It's interesting to note that, you know, when you go to Eretz Yisrael and you go to a lot of the different Kibbutz Tzaddikim, so many times they'll have a shul right there and people will daven there. They're not just davening, you know, some few Kibbutz Tzaddikim, they're doing all sorts of things. Now, it's possible that you know, this halacha, it's brought in the Paiskim, that this halacha is only when you're actually right in front of the mace. But if there's a mechitza, if there's some sort of partition there. So it could be that a lot of these kfarim, you know, they're not really where the mace is, and even you go to say Maris HaMachpela, and you know, these places, you're not actually, the actual cavern, the actual grave is really underneath, so therefore you're not really right there, so perhaps this is the reason why they're allowed to daven in those places. Now, the Kitzur continues, in Sif Tazayin, about the appropriate behavior in the Beis HaKfaras. It says the following, Beis HaKfaras, a cemetery, ein noigim boi kal shreish. One should not be lightheaded, because of the respect of the deceased, to eat and drink there. Now, obviously, eating and drinking is not generally considered to be something lightheaded, but the idea is that in this place, a place where people are resting,